So, then of course you go on to the subtle level, still at the level of developed structure of personality. On the moral side, it means working not just on your behaviour, but much more firmly and deeply on the underlying mental states. Not just trying to restrain yourself from acting unskillfully, but trying to work on the way in which unskillful motivations arise so that they don't arise. It means, therefore, meditation, samadhi. So you could see the first level in terms of sila, and this in terms of samadhi, a meditation practice. So gradually trying to dwell more and more in positive and wholesome mental states, however you choose to do that, whether by allowing them to arise or by trying to produce them. That's not what's at issue here. On the side of jnaya, it means a much deeper and more sophisticated understanding of the nature of thought itself, you might say. I wonder what I mean by that. In traditional terms, this transition is understood in Yogacara as the transition from the Abhidharma perspective to the Madhyamaka perspective. So that the Abhidharma perspective sees things in terms of ultimate existence, of dharmas. But the Mahayana perspective sees that those dharmas are themselves empty. So when we first start to practice the dharma, we probably apply dharmic ideas in a rather literalistic way. And according to this view, that's rather inevitable. It's difficult to do anything else. You're thinking in terms of a real I practicing non-duality, if you see what I mean. You can't do anything else. So you're taking the superstructure of the thoughts, the dharmic thoughts, but still being rather literal about them. You might almost say that, well, you're practicing Buddhism, thinking that there is a real Buddhism, if you see what I mean, and so on. So that all the terms that you're using, all the ideas that you're using, there's still some attachment, there's still some literalism. I think, again, this is rather reassuring because, you know, one of the things that we do encounter in ourselves is the realization that we've been applying the Dharma in a way that is almost anti the Dharma. But in a way, what else can you do? You have to start off by trying to work with the ideas and apply them to yourself. And in the course of doing so, you begin to realize that what they mean in a more fluid and flexible way. I've done it myself, and I've had it done to me so many times. I've been beaten over the head with Dharma ideas, and I've got out a Dharma idea and beaten somebody else back. And there are all sorts of ways in which we use and apply the Dharma over literally. But gradually, as one practices and as one reflects upon it, you begin to realize not just the literal sort of surface meaning, but the underlying sense and meaning. So the subtle jnaya avarana is worn away through chintamayi prajna, that is, reflection, taking the Dharma and reflecting upon it so that you understand its real meaning, not simply the correct grammatical structure of it and the literal application of it. You begin to be able to understand it in a much more flexible and free way, so that you're able, you know, to recognize that in one situation it works, in another it doesn't, and so on. So corresponding to a deeper engagement with samadhi, that is, with the transformation of mental states, goes a deeper engagement with views, with ideas, with dharma ideas, and an application of them in a more reflective and subtle way, which allows them to penetrate much more deeply. So that's the way in which you work on the prakriti avarana, prakriti veil.
How would you do that in meditation, reflect on an idea to take
into the
bhavana?
Right. Traditionally, there are many ways. But for instance, with the Maitri Bhavana, you might get quite deeply absorbed in Maitri, in metta, and where you begin to sort of recognize that you're not really sending metta to somebody. as somebody sort of separate from you, if you see what I mean. That in a certain sense, you know, just using words about it, but that you and the person who is the object of your Maitri were sort of interconnected, were connected to each other. So you deliberately turn your mind to what was happening and begin to sort of try to penetrate a bit more deeply into the ideas that underlay what you were doing. So just the simple idea of metta. You try to sort of understand a bit more fully and deeply what that meant. What does that mean in the light of the idea of non-duality, of just experience? You try to sort of penetrate more deeply into what that means. With the Anapanasati, you'd obviously, through the Anapanasati, got a ready access to an experience which you can reflect on as impermanent. So, you're starting off with the idea of breath. But what is breath? Is there such a thing as breath? So in those practices, there are ways in which you can apply a deeper level of reflection. But more generally, you're hearing teachings. You know, for instance, I've been talking about just experience, mere experience. And perhaps we've got some understanding of what that means. But we need to try to take that deeper, apply it more in our own experience, try to follow through all the contradictions and paradoxes that arise from that idea, and in that way engage with it more deeply. So, yes, it means taking some aspect of the Dharma and reflecting upon it, whether directly in meditation, which, of course, in meditation you're quite concentrated so that you've got a better basis for reflection, or whether sitting on the bus or just quietly reading a book and sitting back from it and reflecting on the teachings that it contains. There's quite a lot more that could be said there, but and in a way I think it'd be quite useful to reflect upon reflection and even, you know, discuss it and it's not exactly possible to teach it, but one can share one's experience of it, and thereby perhaps we can learn from each other. But you're trying to recognize that ideas don't refer to fixed realities, and that simply the ability to manipulate the ideas doesn't constitute knowledge. And you probably all experience this. You know, people who, well, you probably find it in yourself. You can brilliantly expound, but you have no idea what you're talking about, if you see what I mean. So that would be, at the very least, you know, the beginnings of working at the gross level. But once you start to sort of ask yourself, well, what does it really mean? How does it really apply? Then you're beginning to work at the subtle level of the acquired views. I remember Bhante saying that when he'd been practicing the Dharma for some time, he realized that most people he was encountering didn't seem to ask, why was the Buddha saying this? They knew that the Buddha said it. They didn't seem to ask why the Buddha said it. And he felt that that was the most important thing, was to try to discover what it was really getting at. And that's what you're doing at this subtle level.